Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Mudou. Welcome to Health Chat. Breast cancer is the top cancer in women, both in the developed and the developing world. More than 60% of all breast cancer deaths occur in developing countries. At least 80% of people survive breast cancer in North America. However, less than 40% survive the disease in low-income countries. And breast cancer that is more advanced at diagnosis is usually harder to treat and has worse outcomes. Observers say many women in African countries may die of breast cancer due to late presentation. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and before we wrap up the month by next week, we want to discuss this very, very important topic for women. And we will do so today with our guest. He's joining us via phone from Maryland, outside Washington, D.C. Our guest is Dr. Paul Jane Aidu. He is head of clinical services at Kasoa Polyclinic in Ghana and a board member of Ghana Medical Journalism Association. He is presently visiting the United States. Dr. Jane, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Leno.
Great.
I'm really thankful for giving me the opportunity to add my voice to this great, great theme of breast cancer.
Absolutely. It is our pleasure to have you on the show, given that you come fresh from Ghana, and you can tell us what's happening firsthand on the continent, in your country, and also what's like a global look at the issue of breast cancer. Before we do that, let me remind our listeners that you can email questions or comments at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/healthchat. And we will have our discussion with Dr. Paul Jane Aidu in a moment. But first, let's take a listen to this report.
Every year, millions of women lose their lives to various forms of cancer, but experts say breast cancer is the most common and invasive cancer in women. The cancer starts in the tissue of the breast and can become deadly. In the past, breast cancer was thought to be a disease of the developed world, but experts say the incidence of breast cancer is increasing in the developing world. Among African women, it is often fatal. Ifeanyi Nwabuku is the founder of the African Women Cancer Awareness Association, a nonprofit organization that helps African women with prevention and care of breast cancer.
Breast cancer currently is presenting very, very early among Africans. Here, I'm back home, in Africa, and there are more aggressive cancer cells in the Africans than any other group.
The World Health Organization says the increase in the incidence of breast cancer in developing countries is due to an increase of urbanization, adoption of Western lifestyle, and increase in life expectancy. Gladys Boateng in Ghana found out she had breast cancer over 10 years ago.
It was like a death sentence to me at that time, but it's not a death sentence now as I know. Before, I didn't know of any survivor. All the people I know were dead.
Breast cancer can be treated if detected early, but often women are diagnosed at a late stage. Experts say around 80% of cancer cases in Africa are not diagnosed until the disease is advanced. Dr. Clement Edusa serves in the Department of Radiotherapy at Kolebu Hospital in Accra, Ghana. He says some cancer patients lose precious time.
Unfortunately here, the first place of call is either your pastor in church who would send you to a prayer camp, work you off 2-3 weeks before they send you to the hospital, or most of the times the traditional healers who also give herbal concoctions, which also most of the times don't work, so that person is delayed in the process of treatment.
Another challenge for breast cancer patients in Africa is the cost of treatment. In Ghana, for example, radiotherapy treatment costs between $500 to $1,000. Chemotherapy, together with other additional treatment, costs between $20,000 to $30,000, a cost that is beyond reach for many people. Clara Kweku is a cancer patient at Kolebu Hospital.
Money is my problem at the moment. The debt I owe here, I cannot pay. So I couldn't do some of the treatment. This is the greatest problem I am facing.
Experts say while breast cancer is decreasing in developed countries, it continues to increase in low and middle income countries. It is estimated that 70% of all those who get cancer in developing nations will die of it, compared with less than 50% mortality rate in high-income countries.
And Dr. Janie Aido, thank you so much again for joining us. Now, you heard the report, and some of the guests that we spoke with are from Ghana and speaking about the Ghanaian experience. Let me have your reaction to what you heard in terms of perhaps what is the landscape when it comes to breast cancer in Ghana.
Okay, so let me salute all our listeners. And first of all, in Africa, the issue of breast cancer is almost a death sentence, like one of the women mentioned in the interviews. And the major issue is the late presentation of patients to the clinic. Basically, the only thing we can do about breast cancer is to pick it up very early and start treatment very early, and hopefully that would increase the survival of our women and men. And I must say that breast cancer also affects men as well. In fact, a publication by the CDC, suggested that up to about 1% of men presented in the U.S. with breast cancer. In Africa, the issue of late presentation first comes from poor knowledge of the disease and the fact that most women cannot even pick up lumps in their own breast or pick up the signs of breast cancer. And so they really don't know any, have no idea about it, and they take it up very late and come back and they come to the clinics in advanced forms. And the other issue in Africa, especially in Africa, as we are discussing, is a problem with herbal medications, traditional and religious healers. Now, for some reason, this is really incorporated to African culture, celebrating and going to traditional and religious leaders and herbal care people who have basically no idea about the disease. And really, they spend a lot of months there believing that whatever is happening in their breast will go away. In fact, most women actually think that once the breast has a disease, it's of a spiritual implication and so would result to a lot of religious care. And that really delays, you know. And so I have a client of about 19 years old who had a tumor that dropped, that descended down to her knees. You can imagine. Wow. I mean, someone has a breast tumor and stays in the communities until the tumor is so huge, it's up to her knees. That's the extent of problem we have in Africa. And then, cultural issues. I have seen patients who believe that once you have a lump or a boil, you don't have to touch with a knife. That is to say, you don't have to have an operation on it. And so, you can have a patient with an obvious breast disease, swollen and all, and you can counsel adequately to help, and that person will refuse surgery because traditionally some communities believe that when once you have a boil or a swelling in main parts of the body, a knife should not touch it. For some reason they believe this, and although you may pick up the disease and educate them and offer the help of surgery, they will adamantly resist until the disease kills them. And so there are several more factors. Mm-hmm. Other issues of custom have to do with the fact that in polygamous communities in Africa, the women, when they have a breast disease, will try all kind of things to save the breast because they may be competing with another woman for their husband. So, you know, they will hide it, you know, keep it to themselves. And before you realize it's really a big issue. So these are some things that cause delays in African communities. But another big one in African communities is health financing. Uh-huh. Yes, and that's a really big one when it comes to breast cancer because it's an expensive disease as far as screening is concerned, and even more expensive as far as treatment is concerned. And the basic is health physical examination, to pick up the lumps or to pick up some signs of the disease. But research has shown that mammogram, which is kind of an X-ray to pick up these lumps, pick up the disease quite earlier than even physical examination. Okay. And mammogram is quite an expensive, you know, way of picking up the disease. And so it's difficult, even if you request. In most parts of Africa, they don't have well-developed health insurance schemes. In Ghana, where the health insurance is quite advanced, it's basically just support parts of the screening and the treatment.
Okay.
And so mammogram has been a big one. Most of the mothers, women, cannot pay for it. And the WHO published about an 82-page document just on mammogram alone and trying to encourage screening with mammogram. But ultimately, it boils down to health financing.
Okay.
And these are some of the big issues that we face.
Okay. And you touched on several very important aspect of this conversation that I was going to ask you. But let's look at the type of breast cancer that we see among women. Because there are studies that say that there are breast cancer among Caucasian women. For example, in the United States, Caucasian women have the highest incidence rate for breast cancer. However, Black women, including African women, are most likely to die from the disease.
Yes.
So, and other studies say that there is a type of cancer, which is the triple negative cancer, that is affecting women of color, especially African-American women. What can you tell us about it?
Okay, so there are different classifications when it comes to breast cancer. Classifications that have to do with the tissues, because in the breast, you have fat cells, you have ducts that drain the breast milk, you have the skin cells, you know, different tissues in the glands. And there are some classifications that classify by the tissues. But broad mainstay classification has to do with components of hormones.
Okay.
So there are some, there are three, I mean, this classification affords us three different types. There are some of the breast cancers that have estrogen receptors on them at a microscopic level, and other types that have the progesterone receptors.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the human epidermal growth factor receptor. And so these are broadly the three categories that we have. And this may influence the kind of treatments that the person can get because of the kind of hormones and the receptors available. But basically, it is said that studies have shown that more Africans are predisposed to death from breast cancer. I believe basically it's because of these issues that come up in the African setting or in the Black setting, where issues of poverty, issues of poor support, issues of culture, and resulting in late presentation and late treatments.
Okay.
Modality. In fact, elsewhere, there's much advanced systems, so much that MRIs are conducted for the woman to pick things at very minute levels, and all manner of biopsies are done. But in other places, for example, in our parts of the world, there's so much load. I mean, even laboratories are well under-equipped. Laboratories are very few, and so you request for a biopsy result, do a biopsy of a breast lump, request for a result. It takes pretty much longer time for a result to come back. These are all factors that drag breast cancer care in Blacks or in Africans and ultimately affect the treatment outcomes.
Outcome. Okay, Dr. Jani Aidu, we have to take a short break and we will continue the discussion. So please stick around and we will have more of our discussion with Dr. Paul Jani Aidu on breast cancer in a moment. But first, a brief summary of the latest health news with Sanusi Diallo.
Researcher from Erasmus Medical Center in the Netherlands say people who experience frequent drops in blood pressure or dizziness when suddenly standing up are at increased risk of dementia. They tracked 6,000 people for an average of 16 years. They found those who suffer a repeated period of low blood pressure on standing were more likely to develop dementia in the years that follow. Writing in a publication Plus the Medicine, they suggest that less blood reach in the brain during these moments, leading to brain cell damage over time. Dementia experts say this is a robust study and plausible explanation that needs further investigation. Polio eradication partners and activists celebrate the success of the global fight against polio on Monday on World Polio Day. They also ask for additional support needed to wipe out the disease for good. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization Strategic Advisory Group of experts say two companies making vaccine, French drug maker Sanofi Pasteur and Asian Serum Institute of India, are failing to produce enough vaccines, so many countries should prepare to give lower doses to make stock last. Polio is a contagious, crippling, and potentially fatal infectious disease that mainly affects children under 5. There is no cure, but it can be prevented through immunization. The World Health Organization's Global TB Report 2016 says the spread of TB is larger than previously estimated and that global efforts to beat it are falling for short of what is needed. Although the overall number of TB deaths continues to fall across the globe, new data show 50% more cases exist in India than previously thought. So the total number of cases worldwide has increased from 9.6 million to 10.4 million. Six countries, India, Indonesia, China, Nigeria, Pakistan, and South Africa, account for 60% of the total number of people with TB. And that's the wrap-up of the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing breast cancer with our expert, Dr. Paul Jane Aido, Head of Clinical Services at Kasua Polyclinic in Ghana and a board member of Ghana Medical Journalism Association. Dr. Jane Aido is also a health advocate in Ghana. Now, I have this question from Mary in Sierra Leone. She says, when a woman is first diagnosed with breast cancer, what are a few very important questions she should ask her doctor?
Okay, so I assume that she's diagnosed already.
Yeah, when she's first diagnosed with breast cancer, you mentioned earlier that a lot of women don't even know about the disease. So whether she's educated about breast cancer, but most importantly, when she doesn't know anything about breast cancer, what are maybe a couple of important questions that she should ask her physician to have a better sense of how to take care of herself or what to expect?
Okay, so the main point about proper care with every condition, every disease, is health literacy. And health literacy is to be able to understand fully what is happening to you and what's in your power you can do to help you to be cured or to help you to have a better chance of survival. And you need to know from your doctor what exactly the disease is. You need to know from doctor what tests that has to be done, so that you can comply with following up with the schedule of the examination, because once you're diagnosed, maybe by examination or by mammogram, some subsequent tests have to be done. The doctor also has to be able to stage the disease for you. That's very important. Every cancer has to be staged, and the stage will determine the kind of treatment you're going to go through. And that helps you a lot, because if it's an advanced stage, I mean, it helps you to even prepare and stick with your family and have the best of life. If it is a very low stage, then it helps you to comply for curation or for treatability, because breast cancer can be treated, can be cured if it's picked up early. And so if you understand all of these, you know which stage you are in, what is expected of you as a patient, and what the doctor is going to do for you. And I believe that with this basic information, you can adhere so much to treatment. Of course, the issue of what to expect in the treatment, because I have patients who start treatment, they start losing their hair because of the radiotherapy. And because their hair is too precious, they'll stop the radiotherapy and go back to, especially in African communities, will go back to a herbal practitioner, because the assumption is that the hospital treatment or contemporary medicine is affecting her hair or other parts of her body. So you need to know what is to be expected, even as far as the treatment is concerned and the side effects. and concerned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is Kweku in Accra. He wants to know, why do men get breast cancer?
Well, once you have breast tissue, you know, I told you that some of the classification of breast cancer is done by the particular tissues in the breast. And so once you have a breast, you are entitled to have breast cancer, in quotes. And so you can, we can't really say why they have it, let's say, other than the fact that men also have breasts. But what has been observed is that breast cancers in men are more aggressive.
Mm.
Yes, and so that is one particular thing about the breast cancer. And again, we must know that there's some kind of familial trait with breast cancer. And it's a study to know that once you have a male in your family who has breast cancer, then there's a likelihood that it is very familiar and it may continue. So these are just basic information to understand about male breast cancers. But really, the only why is that men also have breast issues. And once you do have breast issues, you can also get breast cancer.
Okay. Now, Chichi in Nigeria says, do small breasts decrease somebody's risk of breast cancer?
Well,
does it matter? Does size matter, in another word?
No, at all.
Okay. Okay.
No, it doesn't. No.
Okay, so anyone is at risk.
Not that studies have showed, no.
Okay. So let me ask you this. When a woman doesn't have access to information, health literacy, as you talk about health literacy, let's say the women in rural areas with limited knowledge and also access to basic preventive services, what can they do to prevent themselves from having breast cancer? Is there even a possibility to prevent breast cancer?
Prevention. You know, the thing about breast cancer and most cancers is that we have not been able to pick up an exact cause of cancer.
Mm.
And for breast cancer, all we know are associated risk factors. And so, for example, if there's a first-degree relative who had a breast cancer, your mother, your sister, an auntie, it gives you an awareness that this is something that is in the family, and so you have to watch out for it.
Mm.
And yes, and again, some associated factors are smoking, tobacco, alcohol, obesity, some radiation therapies can also. So by these associated risk factors, you know, once you find yourself with these risks, and you try to reduce these risk factors, arguably, it's supposed to prevent it. But these are on a theoretical level, per se. Yes, and so there's no exact cause. It's difficult to tell what exactly to do to prevent it, other than the associated risk factors that we try to, you know, you try to reduce your weight, you try to cut down alcohol and tobacco. Tobacco is a big one for all cancers, and it is necessary that every woman learns how to examine her breast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every woman learns how to examine her breast. But of course, the issue of prevention and early detection of breast cancer is a function of a lot of community organizations, even churches. Churches can do outreaches and invite health professionals to come into their communities, even in rural regions, to screen them and to teach them how to examine their breast and to look out for these conditions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, does breast cancer always show as a lump? Because when you're talking about women learning to examine themselves, when we are taught to do that, we are taught to look for a lump. Is there always a lump as a sign, or could you have someone without a sign, without a lump as a sign?
No, there are several types of breast cancers that present without a lump at all. In fact, you might just have a little dimpling on your skin, or maybe your nipple may just be retracting, going inwards. You may have an ulcer at the tip of your nipple. You know, for some reason, maybe you're not, there's no trauma, there's no injury, and then all of a sudden you realize that the tip of a nipple is scaling, and there's some ulceration. Sometimes you have distended veins on the breast. That may just be the only sign of breast cancer. And another big one is bloody discharge. In fact, as a woman, the only discharge expected is the breast milk during the period of breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And, of course, other medical conditions can cause some form of discharges. But generally, if you see any awkward discharge, especially if it's bloody, it's a big one. You need to quickly report and seek help. Sometimes the lump is not even in the breast. It is in your armpit or your axilla. Mm. Yes, and so we have patients who they have some swelling in the armpit and they treat it as a boil. Mm-hmm. And they keep treating it as a boil and boil before you realize they present with a rotten breast. And so it's not just lump in the breast, it's just a little, you know, symptom.
Okay. But
beyond that, you must look out for all these changes in the skin and from the nipple.
Okay. Now, Dr. Paul, you talked about some of the challenges and the reasons why women are presenting late or dying. Let's talk about solutions. We don't have much time left, but given your experience and what the reality is, if you are to talk about solution in among women who live in Africa, where do we start? Where do you think we can improve so that the things are better for African women?
Okay, so I'm looking at how expensive it is to manage breast cancer and even the advanced forms of breast cancer. And WHO is trying to encourage the establishment of national cancer control programs. And these are public health programs that are supposed to help in early detection. I think that, especially in Africa, early detection and early diagnosis, it's the key. Now, this is not just a mandate of government institutions. In fact, over this week, I have a team back home in Ghana that is doing screening for communities, for churches, and screening doing breast examinations, you know, for churches. And these are all coordinated efforts that we can organize in our basic communities, in our churches, in mosques, in communal settings, to bring in health personnel to educate us and to help us examine our breasts and pick up the signs and the symptoms. And then the other solution is the screening tools. I think that there must be some form of strength as far as health financing is concerned, pushed towards breast cancer advocacy or screening for women. You know, so mammography, you know, for screening programs should be encouraged as much as possible. Basically, if we can pursue early detection and pick up these women, I think that would be the biggest solution that will come to us. Of course, health literacy is a big one. Education, in fact, just a couple of things today or yesterday, I saw.
We're running out of time. If you wanna wrap up.
So I think that health literacy has to be encouraged.
Okay.
For women to understand what the disease is and how to pick it up in an early stage.
Okay, Dr. Paul, thank you so much. We will continue this conversation another time. It was our pleasure to have you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Paul Jane Aido, Head of Clinical Services at Kasoa Polyclinic in Ghana. Thanks all of you for listening to Health Chat on today's program. Our newsreader, Sanusi Diallo, we thank him. We also thank producer Jackson Vunganyi. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu in Washington. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.